The biggest sports stars in the Crescent City lit up the red carpet in Tinseltown. Ah, the city's ready for you, said the veteran to the rookie. And a longtime baseball player decides to hang up the cleats. We'll find out what his next steps are today, Thursday, July 11th, 2019.
Twenty-four points now on 11 of 17. Josh Reed with a spinning jam. He scowls as he comes back up the court.
And look at Reed, the spin move and the strong finish for two.
Walker inside, tough shot. Boy, he might be the player of the game.
It's one thing, you know, middle of December, but when you make them in the final, whoa!
With the side spin three.
Hit the global spin. Shoo!
Down to three on the shot clock. Kendrick Dunn, finger rolls it home with the left hand. Baseball yesterday, so it's all Vegas Summer League. And with that, we say good afternoon. Happy Thursday, the 11th day of July, as we all keep our fingers and toes crossed, say our prayers, and hope that Tropical Storm Barry causes as little damage as possible to the Gulf Coast, to the state of Louisiana, to Acadiana, and all parts north, south, east, and west. We'll be getting an update from Chris Cozart of KLFY here shortly, and we will be having updates from the Louisiana Radio Network every hour on the hour, and sometimes even more so, just depending upon how things are going. We'll get the latest coordinates, and we'll figure out. Look, you can already tell this is not our first rodeo. The shelves at the grocery stores, you can't find water. The bread is gone. The lines at the gas stations are long, if there's any gas left to get. So everybody is preparing. And I would rather be prepared than have my fingers and toes crossed and then it'd be too late. So we will keep you updated throughout the course of the day on that. The two biggest stars in the Crescent City. One on the football side of things, Drew Brees. The other on the basketball side of things, Zion Williamson. Both at the ESPYs, both were winners, and both just did a really, really nice job, especially Drew Brees. It was great to see him there. His wife was there, beautiful woman, and his three boys all dressed up in their burgundy tuxedos to match the attire of Zion Williamson. And Drew Brees said he won the best record-breaking performance as it became the all-time passing yardage leader in NFL history on that pass to Traquan Smith that went for a touchdown. It was just very, very fitting. It was a moment in time that we will never, ever forget. Saints fans up in the stands, tears coming from their eyes. That man means so much to the city. He gave a shout out to the greatest fan base in the world, the Who Dat Nation. It was really, really cool. Really cool. And he said, Big Z, welcome. The city's ready for you. And Zion Williamson won the award for the best collegiate athlete. And boy, it was great to see that. Great to see that. It was a good night overall, except for Tracy Morgan. It was terrible as the host. It wasn't funny at all. And some of the winners were so predictable, like the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team as the Team of the Year. But it was great to see Drew Brees and Zion Williamson there. And Zion said the city's been great to him so far. He really had a great time when they opened up a new basketball court for the kids in the city. And he really enjoyed that. So a good night overall on the ESPYs. Baseball resumes, summer league resumes, and they've got a pretty darn good player coming in for the Pelicans. This Nikhil Walker, Alexander Walker, I always get his name confused. He's a kid from Virginia Tech. He's a guard, and it appears in all likelihood Nikhil Alexander Walker, who had 26 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists as the Pelicans beat the Cavaliers 99-78. I'm not going to be a prisoner of the moment. I know it's summer league basketball. It's completely different from real basketball when the pros and the vets play for keeps. But in a backcourt that doesn't have a lot of depth and with injuries that occur, Nikhil Alexander Walker looks like a guy that can get you 10, 15, 16 minutes a night and be a contributor. And that's one good thing that you learn from this summer league. He can play. He can play. Cavell Bigby-Williams did another nice job as the Pels beat the Cavaliers 99-78 to improve their summer league record to 3-1. Let me tell you what we have coming up on the program today. We'll hear more from that in hour number two after our Hot Topics segment. Ali Cassell will join us. He's just back from Vegas. He saw it up close and personal. We'll get his thoughts on the Pelicans and the other things going on around the NBA. Jared Poche will join us in hour number two around 3:30. Jared, the winningest pitcher in LSU baseball history with 39 wins, pitched in 70 games, the most games pitched by an LSU baseball player, decided to hang up his cleats, to retire from the game of baseball. He's been doing it all of his life, but he wants to get on with the rest of his life. So we will talk to Jared Poche about the reasons behind it and what the future holds for him. That's coming up in hour number two, along with on this day in sports history. We do it every day. This one, oh, Bo knows. Let me just tell you, Bo knows. Some birthday wishes and all those things all wrapped up into one. It's all coming your way. We're brought to you every day by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. There are over 60 of them. And, boy, is this a great time to go to ShopRite to load up on any and all supplies you may need, because they've got everything at your disposal. And there are many of them everywhere. They're ready for you. Whatever you may need, ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets have them ready. So get all your preparations underway. Don't wait till the last second. Don't wait till the rains are coming. Get it done now. And go to ShopRite, because if you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. You just can't. So load up, get ready, get your generators ready just in case. Well, we're going to find out if all of that's going to be necessary. Chris Cozart will join us from KLFY, meteorologist, and he will give us the latest coordinates, the path of Barry, and what you can expect from it. We're here to help you out. And so we'll do that next. So we'll take our first time out of the day, our daily weather update coming next on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana sports station and sometimes weather station too. We'll be right back.
Getting a letter from the IRS that you owe back taxes can be scary, but it doesn't have to be. Call GoTax Resolution in Lafayette at 337-420-1040 today. We'll help stop garnishments, levies, and seizures immediately. With over 35 years of dealing directly with the IRS, our team of local professionals will help you pay the least amount possible. So if you owe back taxes to the IRS, you need help. Call the tax professionals at GoTax Resolution in Lafayette at 337-420-1040. Your go-to tax relief.
The Blonde Bomber is back, and better than ever, as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
It's 16 minutes after the hour on this Thursday, the 11th day of July, as we all anticipate what is now Tropical Storm Barry. The storm was upgraded today, expected to be a hurricane by the time it reaches Louisiana this weekend. That's what I'm told. I want to hear from the expert, and that is Chris Cozart, meteorologist for KLFY, who very busy but kind enough to join us yet again today. Chris, can you give us the latest now on Tropical Storm Barry? And thank you for your time.
Yeah, I appreciate being on once again. And we have a few more answers today than what we had yesterday. And the models are in better agreement, as it would be as we get closer to landfall here. But yes, National Hurricane Center, they had those aircraft out there this morning flying around all those showers and storms in the Gulf, and they were able to find winds now coming out of that around 40 miles per hour, which is tropical storm strength. Still very disorganized this afternoon, but it's at the point now that they went ahead and declared this Tropical Storm Barry. So he just jumped over the depression stage, went right into the tropical storm stage, and it's the second name of the season, so we have Barry. And the forecast has at least improved slightly for us, but I tell you, we are going to be on the nice edge on what type of severity of significant rainfall we're going to see from Barry, because the center of circulation with Barry will go somewhere probably across St. Mary Parish, maybe a little further east, and then kind of go up across the basin. Now, that still puts a lot of Acadian on the west side, which is the good side, but again, we're going to be very, very close on the cusp of some of those significantly high rainfall totals. And as it makes landfall there Saturday morning, it is expected to be a very, very strong tropical storm, possibly a weak Category 1 hurricane, winds about 75 miles per hour there.
Chris, according to the projections, people in Acadiana have friends, relatives all throughout the state. Who's going to get the brunt of this thing, in your guesstimation?
Yeah, if I really had to pinpoint it right now, I'd say Baton Rouge, eastward, New Orleans certainly needs to be on high alert here. Baton Rouge will be pretty close. Again, it's anywhere that's going to be on the right side of that center of the storm, because it's so disorganized, and it will get itself back together here, and it will start to really look more like a textbook tropical storm or hurricane over the next 24 to 36 hours. So when that happens, a lot of the rainfall, again, will shift to the south and east side of that center. And so when it comes inland, that's really where you don't want to be. If you're going to be on any side of the storm, on any type of tropical system like this, the west side's the best side to be on, because it's the drier side. And you don't have to deal with the tornadoes, and we wouldn't have to deal with the really extreme high rainfall totals that the models are showing. So I would say right now, based on everything that we're seeing, the worst would be Baton Rouge East, New Orleans, certainly right there in the crosshairs of some pretty high rainfall totals and a significant storm surge as well.
Is this going to be one of those storms that lingers for a while, or do you think it's going to move in and get out of here quickly?
Well, that's another great thing that we've seen with the model runs, is it's actually picked up a little speed. It still is slow. It's still very slow. It's only moving at about 5 miles per hour to the west at the moment. So right now it is a slow-moving storm, so it has a little time to kind of, again, get itself organized a bit more, possibly strengthen itself further above that tropical storm strength. But once it hits land, the models really have it picking up speed, which is good news. You know, we don't want anything that sits over land. So I think it makes landfall sometime around 7 a.m. on Saturday morning, maybe a little bit earlier than that. But it's out of here, at least most of it will be out of here by the late afternoon and evening hours. And we still will see some trailing showers and storms as a result of that going into the Sunday. But I think this storm should actually move pretty quickly for us, which is another good thing. But in the short term it's in there, it can produce a good amount of rainfall.
Chris Cozart, meteorologist, KLFY, kind enough to join us. It sounds like good news for Acadiana, but these things can change. These things can divert. They can move in a variety of patterns at a drop of a notice. What would you advise listeners at this point in time?
Continue to prepare, continue to do exactly what you were doing 24 hours ago when we were talking some even higher rainfall totals and some more significant impacts, because, again, we are going to be on that cusp of being so close to seeing the most severe impacts from Barry here. So do not change any plans yet. I think you can breathe just a touch easier, but don't take too deep of a breath here, because we are going, this one is going to be really, really close for us. And a matter of, as you said, even now at this point, as close as the models are showing where the center is going to go, 20 to 30 miles could be a big difference to the folks just down the road from you. You know, we could see St. Martinville and St. Mary Parish down into Generette and Iberia Parish have some bigger impacts if that center of rotation is able to go a little bit further west than what the models are showing. So we're right there. I'm telling you, this is a close system, so I don't want anybody to get their guard down too much. I'm just being a little bit more optimistic, and I feel that the forecast is a bit more confident today.
But still, those areas that typically flood, given an inch or two, it's going to happen again, right?
Yeah, that's certainly in the cards. And, you know, we have tropical rain bands set up, and we can have tropical rain bands set up on the west side of the system. It's not as robust. It's not as widespread as what you'll see on the right side of the system, but they will still be there. And those tropical rain bands tend to sit over the same areas, and that's where the concern will be. So I will not be surprised if on Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, we are dealing with some sort of flash flooding, maybe not on a widespread scale, but in parts of Acadiana here. And also I need to mention that the winds are still going to be rather strong. I think by tomorrow afternoon, you're going to notice a stronger north wind there. And those gusts could get up towards to about 60 to 70 miles per hour, even in Acadiana, even if we're on the west side of the system. So tropical storm force winds, they're in the cards as well, and if not more likely than anything else. So we'll just need to worry about some of those trees that have, some of those really shallow root systems.
Right. You mentioned it's soggy from all the rains that we have gotten, so those winds could cause all kinds of trouble from a power outage standpoint. So keep it locked in. I know you're busy. I greatly, greatly appreciate your time, as always. And if there's anything we can do to get the word out along with you, please do not hesitate. Chris Cozart, thank you.
You're welcome, and thanks for having me.
All right, buddy, there you go. Chris Cozart, KLFY. Again, it appears at this point and time that Acadiana is going on the west side of this thing. Of course, you said the brunt of it's going to be where I am in Baton Rouge. So that's not good, but it is what it is. So Baton Rouge, New Orleans, get ready for high winds, lots of rain, flash flooding, and all that. So get your traveling done. Get out of town. Stay in Acadiana. Don't come south. Don't head to New Orleans. Don't head to Baton Rouge. Stay put. Stay where you are, and let's see where this thing goes. It's going to start raining again this afternoon. It's going to get quiet, and then Friday's going to come, and it's going to do the same thing, and then all hell's going to break loose come Saturday. But the good news is for Acadiana, you're at this present point in time, you're on the westward side of this thing, which is the less of the two. And the best news is that Chris anticipates this to be a quick-moving storm. Get in, get out. It's going to cause widespread rain all throughout the northern part of Louisiana into Arkansas, Georgia, and all those areas. But as long as it doesn't stay stalled and we just keep getting pounded and pounded with the rain and the winds, then I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that will be A-OK. But, again, it's a tropical storm right now. Governor, John Bel Edwards, issued a state of emergency on Wednesday. It will remain in effect until August the 8th unless it's terminated sooner. So residents along the Gulf Coast can anticipate Barry's arrival. And, again, it can move to the east, to the west. It can stall for a while, gain more strength. Just don't know. These things are not an exact science. So please use every precaution that you can. And again, we will have updates hourly, at the very least hourly, right here on 103.7 The Game. So every hour we will update the coordinates, we'll update the projections, we'll update the strength, the anticipation of landfall, and what areas need to really, really be concerned. And as of right now, it seems like Baton Rouge, New Orleans are the areas, and it, and hopefully Acadiana will get the lesser of the brunt of this thing. But please, again, whatever your precautions that you want to take, that you need to take, get it done now. Don't wait till the last minute. Things are flying off the shelves. Just be prepared. Be ready. And let's hope for the best. And if you don't use it, well, you can just store it and have it ready in case there's another one coming down the pipeline. And in all likelihood, that probably will be the case. So we appreciate Chris Kozark for coming on from KLFY. We'll take a time out here. We'll get back to the world of sports when we return here. The Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana's sports station, and sometimes we do a little bit of weather and other things as well. When we come back, what would you do if you found cash like people did on the freeway outside of Atlanta? What would you do? We'll tell you the story next.
Who's got game and who's the next big thing at LSU? Jordy Hultberg will set you straight on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, 33 minutes after the hour, welcome back. Here's one of these situations. What would you do? It's one of those tests of your conscience, your mind. Where are you in the grand scheme of life? Because if you were in outside of Atlanta, Georgia on Tuesday, and you're driving down Interstate 285, you saw something that might have blown you away or just like, whoa, an armored truck spilled an estimated $175,000 as the back door of the guarded truck, Garda, G-A-R-D-A, the Garda truck opened up on Interstate 285. Cash bills scattering to the shoulder of the six-lane westbound section of the highway. Some floated across the divider into eastbound lanes. Bills blew into the woods, sank into storm drains. Bill after bill, $175,000 worth. What would you do? Would you, more than a dozen commuters screeched to a halt or veered off to the shoulder of the highway near the Dunwoody Road exits. According to police, they scooped up bills from the pavement, returned to their vehicles with fistfuls, sometimes armloads of cash. One driver, Randrell Lewis, 26, an Uber Eats driver who was en route to a town called Alpharetta, said, "I just saw a cloud full of what looked like leaves." He said, "No, it was money. I couldn't believe my eyes. I'm not going to lie. The first thing I did was I pulled over and started picking up some money. Everybody started pulling over, and it was crazy." Within minutes, Lewis said he snatched up about $2,000 in singles, 50s, and hundreds. Police asked everyone, whoever picked up the money, to please return it. If you don't, anything over $2,000 is a felony. So the armored truck had a total of $2 million in it, and $175,000 came out. What would you do? Well, Randrell Lewis returned the cash to the Dunwoody Police Department. Another person with $500 that was picked up returned the money to the police department. Everybody else? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. What would you do in that situation? Would you pull over and grab the cash and run with it? Or would you pick it up and go to the police department? I'm not asking you to tell me. I'm just asking you to think about it a little bit. What would you do? Well, the temptation would be there. There's no question about that, I'm sure. What would you do? Money falling from the sky. What would you do? Guy thought it was leaves. Thought it was leaves, but it was money falling from the heavens. Can you imagine that? Holy cow. I remember when I was a kid, I saw a $20 bill on the steps at Tulane University heading up to their swimming pool. I picked it up, looked around, held it up, kept waiting, see if somebody kept waiting, waiting. I said, okay, it's mine. I felt guilty about it. I did. I can't imagine what that would be like to, first off, how many cars almost got in an accident and did anyway. Anyway, what would you do if you had been on that Interstate 285 outside of Atlanta and there's just money floating through the sky and you can see it right there within your reach? What would you do? Again, it was great to see. Drew Brees is so classy. You know, he won the ESPY Award for the best record-breaking performance. And what a play that was, right? Like a 71-yarder. Saints were behind. Traquan Smith, very seldom thrown to. And just, boom. Open on the sideline, took it in for the score. Just a great play. And then to see the fans and the agile, and then the ball given to Drew Brees, and he hands it to the gentleman in the white gloves who takes it immediately to the Hall of Fame. It was just a really cool deal. It was great to see him, and he's so classy. And the funny part of the night was, you know, he made a comment about, first, I want to thank my beautiful wife. Thank you for being with me through this incredible journey. I love you more today than when we started, and all that stuff. And then Dwayne Wade came up, and of course, Dwayne Wade's married to the beautiful actress Gabrielle Union. And it was kind of funny. He said, I want to personally thank Drew Brees. You know, you made those comments about your wife. My wife gave me the death stare and said, if I don't mention her and say something nice about her, the ride home's going to be a long one. And it was really cute, really funny. So great to see our two most recognizable star athletes, Drew Brees, Zion Williamson, both winning, bringing the city of New Orleans to the forefront. And it was great that Zion was in California. What do you think Zion would have done if he had been in New Orleans yesterday with the floods and the water everywhere? What do you think he'd have thought of then? So it was great timing that he, David Griffin, all the execs of the Pelicans were there. Nice, high and dry and sunshine. Not down here where, again, there's a dude swimming down Canal Street. Swimming. Right place, right time. Way to go, Zion, who rightly so has been held out of all games, doesn't need to play in it, makes no sense to do it, doesn't need to. He'll be fine. He'll be fine when it counts. More on the college basketball scandal. Report coming out that North Carolina State has been hit with related violations to Dennis Smith Jr., a lot of cash being transferred back and forth. And, you know, NC State's in the crosshairs right now. But the report also came out saying there were other schools being investigated as well. And sources say that the NCAA is actively investigating Arizona, Creighton, Kansas, Louisville, USC, and LSU in this, the result of the federal government's investigation of the pay-for-play schemes in college basketball. Will Wade's up in Atlanta, as a matter of fact, recruiting at the Peach Jam session. He's got to get some bigs, and he's got some opportunities. He's waiting on some clearance of some academic issues, and if those academic issues are cleared by the clearinghouse and by LSU and their department, then you'll see an announcement at the end of this month on one, maybe two players added to Will Wade's contingent. And they're going to be playing in Spain coming up not too far from now. So they'll get a lot of practice time. And I think they're going to be very, very good again. But we just have to get this investigation process out of the way. How quickly this will happen, who knows? Who knows? It probably won't be till this whole basketball season of 2019-2020 gets cleared and gets out of the way. But you're still under that microscope. So time will tell on that one. We are presented each and every day by Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. All kinds of specials as a happy hour special each and every day. Ambassador Caffrey Parkway is where we're located, newly renovated, and just a great place to bring anybody and everybody. Sit back, relax, have some good food. Every major sporting event will be up on their plethora of television sets that are there. Cold beers, cold drinks for everyone, and a great wait staff that's there to help you in whatever you need when it comes to good eats and good treats. That is Hooters. Hooters just makes you happy. Coming up hour number two, we'll talk Pelicans. We had to rearrange some things. People in New Orleans, it's hard getting around doing things, but Ali Cassell will join us in hour number two. We'll talk about some of these three draft choices and what an impact they have made and what their future looks like with the big club. Are any going to stick around and stay? I think two of them will, and they may hide a third one. And what is David Griffin saying about them? So Ali Cassell will join us. We'll talk about that. And Jared Poche, he had a chance to leave after his third season at LSU. Was drafted, made the decision to come back for his senior year. During that senior year, he start off with a bang. Remember, threw a no-hitter. Didn't allow a run scored against him till like week five or six of the college baseball season, something unheard of. He was one of the best, if not the best pitcher in college baseball at that point in time. So he had no regrets coming back. But now after a couple of years bussing around in the minor league farm club system, decided, enough is enough. And he is hanging up his cleats. He's giving up the game of baseball, and we'll find out the reasons why and what the future holds for the all-time winningest pitcher in LSU baseball history, Jared Poche. That's all coming up hour number two. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back, close up hour number one here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station. What would you do with all that money on the side of the road? What would you do? We'll be back.
All the best guests join the Jordy Helfrich Show. If you missed an interview, you can check it out on demand at 1037thegame.com. Now, back to the show.
All right. 49 minutes after the hour, some baseball news. CD back in the Master Control Suite in the 237 Roof Studios. But Houston Astro outfielder Jake Marisnyk has been suspended two games today for his collision with former Raging Cajun current L.A. Angel catcher Jonathan LaCroix, that accident, that incident and collision happening on Sunday. LaCroix was hospitalized after suffering a concussion and a broken nose in the collision at home plate. Mariznick was called out for colliding with LaCroix. Joe Torre, the chief baseball officer for Major League Baseball, said in announcing the suspension, quote, "After thoroughly reviewing the play from all angles, I have concluded that Jake's actions warrant discipline. While I do not believe that Jake intended to injure Jonathan, the contact he initiated in his attempt to score violated an official baseball rule which is designed to protect catchers from precisely this type of collision." The umpires determined that Mariznick veered out of the baseline and lowered his shoulder to make contact with LaCroix. Mariznick and LaCroix banged heads on the play. The back of LaCroix's head also struck the infield dirt. There's a freeze frame picture of it, and you can see head to head contact. If it was football, I mean, they'd have the ejection flag out, and that was it. The Angels said LaCroix will see an ear, nose, and throat specialist after the All-Star break when his swelling has subsided. Mariznick was also fined an undisclosed amount. Mariznick said afterward that it was a bad play and that he hoped that LaCroix was okay. He also posted on his Twitter later that he made a split-second decision at full speed and he felt awful that another player got hurt. If Mariznick does not appeal, his suspension will begin tonight when the Astros play the Rangers in Arlington. So some baseball news there that will affect the Astros. And we just hope that LaCroix, after he sees the specialist, is cleared and is good to go. Man, it's such a bang, bang scenario. It just is. And so pretty tough. Meanwhile, it could be a lot tougher. He could be Big Poppy. David Ortiz, the former Boston Red Sox slugger, underwent a third surgery earlier this week because of complications from the gunshot wound he suffered last month in the Dominican Republic. His wife, Tiffany, said that Poppy's in good spirits and is recovering well. I mean, my goodness gracious. So we wish him nothing but the best as he attempts to recover. Meanwhile, it's been quite a ride for the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. And they've been controversial over a variety of topics. And when they were in New York City for their victory parade, ticker tape parade, New York City police say they are investigating a possible hate crime toward their most outspoken player, Megan Rapinoe, after posters featuring the soccer star were defaced with derogatory slurs. Police said the vandalism, which was discovered inside the Bryant Park subway section in Midtown Manhattan, were being investigated by the NYPD's Hate Crime Task Force. The posters have been scrubbed clean, and we'll see. After the parade, Rapinoe urged Americans to love more, to hate less, and then they were all jet-setted across the country to L.A. They got all dressed up, and they won the honors of the best team on the ESPYs, and deservedly so. So we shall see. Meanwhile, Wimbledon. Tomorrow is a big day for the men as Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer will meet in the semifinals. Novak Djokovic is in another. Today we found out on the women's side who will play in the finals. Serena Williams was a straight set winner over Stetakova, and Simona Halep was a straight set winner over Svitolina. So it'll be Halep versus Williams for the Wimbledon championship. That will be on Saturday, breakfast at Wimbledon. The men's final will be on Sunday. And the three best players in the world are in the semifinals. So Federer versus Nadal, that is must-watch TV early tomorrow morning. Early tomorrow morning. Again, SEC Media Days are coming up starting on Monday. RP3 and company will be there doing their show live each and every morning. We'll have reports every day, Monday through Thursday of next week, each day at 2:15 to lead off our show. And we look forward to that. Monday, it all starts with Barry Odom of Missouri in the leadoff slot. And then Ed Orgeron of LSU and Dan Mullen of Florida will share the spotlight, each team going from 2:30 to 6:30 p.m. On Tuesday, Georgia and Ole Miss in the morning session, Tennessee, Texas A&M in the evening session. Wednesday will be the big day because St. Nick walks through the doors as Alabama and Arkansas will be there bright and early at 9 a.m. on Wednesday. Mississippi State and South Carolina will bring up the rear on Wednesday afternoon and early evening. And then Thursday it all ends with Auburn, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. So by that time, everybody's tired, everybody's ornery, everybody wants to get home, and they'll get the least amount of attention. It all kind of it starts off strong. It comes to a crescendo with Saban, and then it starts to go downhill. That's just the way it works each and every year. But we'll have reports each and every day from Raymond Parsh, RP3, and company. So we've got that going for you. We've got more projections coming up on Tropical Storm Barry. We will have a Pelicans report with Ollie Cassell. He saw the three draft picks, and they've been pretty good. They've been pretty good. Are they good enough to make the big league roster? We'll get Ollie's viewpoints on that and much, much more. We are brought to you by DC's Little Capital Exxon I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Whether you're traveling 5, 50, or 500 miles, DC's Little Capital Exxon has everything for everyone in your travel party, including that true soul food deli. If you're hungry, if you haven't had anything to eat right now, just drive over there and go order your cheeseburger. It's world famous. I mean world famous. It is that good. DC's Little Capital Exxon. It's my go-to stop. Make it yours as well. I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobridge. Hour number one's history. Hour number two straight ahead. The Jordy Helpert Show. 103.7 The Game. 103.7thegame.com. We are Acadiana Sports Station.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pull off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. Streaming live on the 103.7 The Game mobile app and online at 103.7thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 103.7 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
Welcome, hour two, and away we go on this Thursday, July the 11th. We gave you an update on Tropical Storm Barry. It seems like as of right here, right now, Acadiana is going to get the least of the brunt of the storm as it's going to be on the western side of the eye. We'll keep our fingers and toes crossed on that. Remember the name Devon Gales, a former Southern University football player who back in the year 2015, suffered a spinal injury during a kickoff return against the University of Georgia. The collision with former Bulldog kicker Marshall Morgan left Gales paralyzed from the waist down. Well, 342 days ago, a Georgia construction company broke ground on a lot that would become a long-awaited home. And today, Devon Gales and his family moved into the wheelchair-accessible house built specifically for them. Multiple organizations, Georgia alumni, and donors contributed to the project before Currahee Home Builders got to work on the property. What a great story. It's a 5,000-square-foot home that is built specifically for Devon Gale. Georgia didn't have to do that. They didn't. But they opened their arms, and they got it done. The lot located in Jefferson, Georgia, where Gales works as an assistant high school football coach, was donated by former Bulldog linebacker Whit Marshall. It's a great story. It truly is a great story. With that in mind, let's get some other great stories as we take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. CD, button please.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
Oh, Clint, it just warms my heart to know that that former Southern University football player and his family's been taken care of. They're going to enjoy privately their finished, furnished, and decorated home today. Everybody's going to get to revel in the day's events at a block party-style celebration August 10th. It's just, it warms my heart, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good, Jordy. That definitely is a little bit of a good story for a man that just such a great kind of, hopefully an end to a great story for him. Kind of, he's definitely going to want to he's had a long recovery process, but it's just great to hear that story in general. Another step towards kind of living a normal life as much as you can, obviously.
Exactly.
But, Jordy, you know, we got a lot of
things. What's going on today, my friend?
Oh, that a lot of things are going on today, Jordy. In fact, a lot of stuff was going on last night. And I think one of the big highlights, without a doubt, has to be Naz Reid. The dude was just all over the place.
Yeah.
The undrafted free agent, Jordy. A lot like what we're seeing with maybe a Cavell Bigby Williams. He's definitely making some strides. He could very well be one of those guys to make the roster.
Well, he signed a two-way contract, so he's going to spend about 40 days up with the big league team. He's going to spend the rest of it in the G League. But, it's a start. Let's not get fooled by the G League, the Summer League in any way, shape, or form. But it's a step in the right direction. Naz has some work to be done, but he certainly put on a show last night, and that's terrific. He and Tremont Waters both playing very, very well for their respective organizations, Tremont with the Celtics. So that bodes well for I think Trey makes the roster first straight up. I really do. Naz going back and forth. It's not how you start, baby. It's how you finish.
Exactly, Jordy. But it's great to see what they've been able to do right out the gate. And, Jordy, you know, you were talking about earlier with the Astros, Jake Mrazek, two-game suspension for that. It was an awful collision, Jordy. I don't want to get your thoughts on it. Was that fair to give him just two games for that suspension?
Unfortunately, I think somebody has to bite the bullet because they've got these rules in place to protect catchers. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that Mrazek intentionally tried to hurt LaCroix. It's just a bang-bang play. Yep. But rules are in play, and somebody has to suffer the consequences. So he will. They're trying to send a message so that these kind of things do not occur. If you're going to slide, slide wide. Don't slide in the baseline area. Keep it wide. And that may avoid some of these collisions.
Exactly, Jordy. It's just unfortunate that had to happen at the end of the first half of the season heading into the All-Star break. But hopping over, looking at what's going on in the minor leagues, Jordy, this is something that's been talked about the Atlantic League using robot umpires. Last night was the first time that they actually did that, Jordy. But they also announced four new rules. I'm going to get your thoughts on these, Jordy. The first one being the pitcher is required to step off the rubber in order to attempt a pickoff. One foul bunt is permitted with two strikes before a strikeout is called. Check swing rule has been made a lot more batter friendly, probably to help out those robot umps. And the final one, I think, is the most head scratching of them all, Jordy. Batters may steal first on any pitch not caught by a catcher.
Oh my God. First off, robot umpires. Really? What are the chances? Zero. I don't give this any credence whatsoever in any way, shape, or form. I just don't. That's me. I'll believe it when I see it, if it ever happens. I just don't think it'll ever happen. So I just say hogwash on all of it, to be honest with you.
I'd have to agree with you, especially with stealing first. That's probably the weirdest part of it all, Jordy. Stealing first. I mean, I get it if it's like a strike three and it's a wild pitch. Guy's got to go to the backstop and catch it. Like, that makes sense. But straight up stealing first, let's say, like, it's your leadoff batter and the dude just wants to just completely avoid you. He can throw a wild pitch and you just go ahead and steal first. It's ridiculous than anything.
Why do they keep fooling with it? Why do they keep tinkering? I just don't get it. The main thing is speed up the game. Yep. That's the main thing. Put nets down the line so people don't get hit. Put nets up, speed up the game, and keep juicing the ball so they hit home runs. That's all you need to do.
Exactly, Jordy. I think you do that, you're going to be in a good place. But it's at least they're doing this, not like how we're seeing with the NBA, where now they're just immediately going to throw these challenge flags in there. They're using their feeder system to test out these new things. That way they can figure out if they work or if they don't, or if they need to tweak it a little bit more. They're actually using these as just kind of testing grounds, as breeding grounds for potential new ideas, rather than, oh, hey, we're going to go ahead and just do robot umps right out the gate.
I don't get it. Just next. Robots, please. I want people to earn a living. I want human beings to have the right to do a job, earn a living. I don't want robots taking over. I just don't.
I don't want it either, Jordy. But you have to think it's definitely going to be interesting to see what's going to happen in the MLB when it comes to that aspect, because it's something that's been talked about for years. But looking over at the world of college football, Jordy, a California bill that would allow college athletes to be paid is going to be very well could be getting approved, maybe as we speak, and this thing could go into effect on January 1st of 2023. Could this affect what's going on with the NCAA as a whole? Because they're obviously going to strongly oppose the bill, and they were actually thinking about banning a postseason bowl game being played or national championship games being played over on the left coast in California.
The NCAA said this is a possibility. We will ban you from certain things, ban events from occurring there. If they're still going on with it, we'll see what happens in legislation and in the judiciary process, because some attorneys are going to make a lot of money off of this thing.
Oh, they're definitely going to be making a lot of money off of this, because it's definitely the first step probably down a very slippery slope when you look at what's going on with the NCAA. And you see these players, eventually, I feel like they all need to get paid a certain amount and be able to use their name, image, and likeness like we've seen in the past. And more importantly, for the young guys like I am, I'd be more than willing to have them bring back the NCAA college football games.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead, Clint.
Hey.
Go do your thing, big guy. Go do your thing.
You know how it is, Jordy, trust me. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are probably listening that would love to see this happen, because trust me, Jordy, it is definitely a big, big deal. But of course, I think we got to talk, moving back over to the NBA for a minute, Jordy. I was talking about former LSU Tigers doing big things. What about what we saw last night with Alexander Walker and Jaxson Hayes just absolutely feasting? Alexander Walker getting 26 points on the way to a big win over the Cavs. Seeing these two guys, Jordy, obviously drafted pretty highly. Yeah, these guys were highly touted, but seeing these two guys out there doing their thing without Zion Williamson, they're making a strong case for themselves to being either starting five or being very close to being kind of in constant rotation.
I think they will get minutes. There's no question about that. I don't think they're going to be starters unless there's a trade being made behind the scenes with some of these acquisitions from the Lakers. But both will make the squad. Both will play minutes, and the upside has just been tremendous. Here's one little note for you. I just saw where a legendary Indiana University basketball coach, Bob Knight, who left the university in controversy and for years didn't return publicly, he and his wife Karen have bought a home just 3 miles from Assembly Hall, where he coached for 29 years. How about that? He bought the home for $572,000, and he's moving back to Bloomington, Indiana. What about that?
Who says you can't go home, Jordy? That's awesome. I got to hear that Bob Knight is finally kind of moving back over to the place that made him famous and also infamous out in Indiana.
Yeah.
In Bloomington, Indiana.
An ornery old curmudgeon, yes. All right, there's your Hot Topics for the day. Clint brought up those rookies for the Pels. We'll talk with Ollie Cassell next, who was in Vegas, saw them up close and personal, and we'll get his thoughts on the newest members as we roll on here. That brought to you by the best hot sauce on the planet. That's Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. The Beard family for nearly 90 decades in St. Martinville, putting out the same great product. By only using the finest spices and the finest peppers, they get Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. Do yourself a flavor. Bring Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef Hot Sauce on it. We'll be back. Ollie Cassell talking hoops here on the Jordy Helpert Show.
Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back. 18 minutes after the hour. Vegas still happening. And the Pelicans are really good. They're 3-1, having a good time. Ollie Cassell, editor at The Bird Writes, kind enough to join us. He's been in Vegas, right? And now he's back. And I just wanted to get his thoughts and his report on the Pelicans. Ollie, thanks for the time. First off, you okay, buddy? Everything good?
Yeah, absolutely. I was able to beat the storm home with a lot of other people.
Ooh, how are the roads in the Crescent City today? It was bad the other day. I mean, it was bad downtown.
I did see some standing water still when I had to drop off a few people, but you're right. It just, you know, let's just hope for hope's sake that the levees hold, right? Everybody's talking about how that's probably the biggest threat with the additional rain and then possibly, you know, the wave action, that something's going to topple. So fingers crossed down here.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, let's talk about some good things. Let's talk about some hoops. You were in Vegas. You got to see this group up close and personal. Been very impressed with Nickel Alexander Walker. I mean, what a find from Virginia Tech. I knew under Buzz that he would be fundamentally sound, but this kid can score. Looks like in a backcourt where possible some injuries occur every now and then, this guy can give you 10, 15 minutes a night, and he'll be a solid contributor. Do you get that feel?
Yes, Jordy, absolutely. And we're even taking it a step further, I think, because as we've discussed even previously, the Pelicans do not have a backup point guard on its roster for that specific role. They've got Lonzo Ball, who has a high degree propensity for injury. And then, of course, there's Drew Holiday, who can obviously fill in a pinch or pretty much run a team, but he prefers to play off the ball. So there's nobody really else entrusted with that kind of ball-handling duty behind Lonzo. So suddenly, I think Nickeil Walker, you've almost got to consider, he's at least going to be in the running when training camp opens in September. I mean, he's looked fantastic. You know, Coach Vincent said, look, I started him off the ball in his first game a couple of days ago, and you know what? Quickly discovered that Jalen Adams was not suited for the role, but Nickeil Walker was. And, you know, he's averaged 7 assists in 2 games. In addition to all the scoring and the steals and the defense that he's been playing, so he's a heck of a find, I feel like, at the 17th overall pick, because he's providing that two-way ability. And again, it's that ball handling and playmaking that's really standing out, because, look, we know what kind of weapons the Pelicans are going to have, but he just single-handedly found Jackson Hayes to where he scored a career high, he said, 28 points when he didn't even have over 19 in Texas. So it bodes well, Jordy. It really bodes well. It's a nice surprise.
And his ability to knock down threes surprised me a little bit as well.
Yeah, we kind of had a feel for his shooting was going to be pretty good, because that's what he had shown off in Virginia Tech this past season. But, you know, I like his touch even that much more. Being up close, you see his release, and it's got, you know, it's got a little bit of resemblance to some of the better shooters in the league, to where it really gets right off the fingertips, and he looks really confident, and he can shoot it off the move. You know, he's not one of these guys that has to stand still, and it's basically just a catch and shoot. That's the only time he's going to release it, like, say, maybe Darren Collison. No.
Right.
This looks like a legitimate shot that he's got. So, really, like I said, it's just amazing, his versatility and all the tools he possesses. And the Pelicans got him at 17.
That's amazing. Ali Cassell at the Bird Rights, kind enough to join us. Of course, the play that everyone has been talking about in Summer League was that fire pass, as it's called, as he wrapped around two defenders and found his teammate Jackson Hayes. Oh, my God. Greatest poster I've ever seen. Hayes certainly seems to have some upside to him. And how do you see him? Look, Vegas is one thing. Real NBA action is another thing. But Jackson Hayes has some things you can't coach.
Yeah, his motor and his intensity, I loved it. You know, in that first game especially, he was looking to even punish some people, even though, as we know, he's going to get stronger, but he doesn't have the size right now. But he did get to the line 14 times. I love seeing stuff like that. You know, you got to get 3 points in this league as many different ways as possible, and the Pelicans in the past have only been able to rely on Anthony Davis for that. We know Zion's going to get the line. Now, if Jackson Hayes can make that a staple of his game, that would be fantastic. I mean, as you mentioned, he's got bounce. That is single-handedly the best play I've ever seen in Summer League. And you've got to almost put that dunk, you know, in the top 5 or 10 ever. As much basketball as I've watched, I think it's definitely top 5 or 10 for me. So, impressive, Jordy. And I got to mention one more thing. He shot a 3-point shot last game, looked good doing it. So, boy, if he can add some range to that shot, suddenly be shooting from outside the paint. Wow. The Pelicans got another steal, and we're going to be bragging about him for years as well.
Yeah, that's two very promising prospects, to say the least. Of course, everybody's talking about the prospect, and that's Zion Williamson. We only saw him for 9 minutes. But try to explain to our audience what the feeling was around Vegas. And I mean, they packed the joint to watch the kid play. I mean, he's solid gold wherever he goes.
He really is. And, you know, the hype was just surreal. I mean, I wish I could have been there for when LeBron entered the league, because, honestly, since LeBron's entered, I don't think anybody's matched what we saw with Zion. You know, the leading up to the NBA lottery, to where everybody knew the consensus number one, to where Knicks fans were crying, right, when they didn't win number one, because they knew how important it was to land this transcendent player. And everything since then, Jordy, you know, he's been seen on national TV. Everybody still talks about the Pelicans, even though they lost Anthony Davis, because of this guy. So everybody expects really big things from him. Yeah. And I love that Griffin's been able to kind of push that aside. We're going to let him grow. He's got a good team around him. So he's not going to have to be front and center like maybe R.J. Barrett will be with New York. But in due time, I think we're going to see why Zion went first and why the hype is real. Because he played 9 minutes. He did get off to a slow start, had some jitters, even had a shot blocked, I think, a couple times by Mitchell Robinson. But, boy, when he turned it on, suddenly he got a couple easy dunks, thanks to Kenrich Williams giving him a couple good passes. There was no stopping him. He started with a fiend on defense, on the boards. And as you mentioned, ripping Kevin Knox and then turning Daniel Duncan that roar, we saw, I think, in those few seconds of what we can expect from him for years to come.
They're a fun team to watch, this little summer league team. They're pretty good.
I would watch this over 82 games any day of the week compared to what we saw last year.
Yeah. I'm with you. Ali Cassell at the Bird Rights. What's the buzz? You're around all the executives. You're around all the coaches and the players all convene in Vegas. Meetings are taking place. Are people buying the Pelican stock these days?
They are. I'm impressed by how many national media actually know who the Pelicans are, all of their players, and they're high on them despite the fact Anthony Davis left for Los Angeles. I mean, they think they have a legitimate chance of competing for one of those last few playoff spots. And, you know, when you just see how these prospects have performed, boy, if any of these guys can contribute anything at all the next season, that bodes really well, Jordy. It's an open West. You know, there's going to be a couple of elite teams, but outside of them, I think it's going to be a free-for-all. So if Drew Holiday and J.J. Redick and Favors, Derek Favors, can come together and then let these rookies contribute where they may. And there's a couple of other solid role players, you know, Frank Jackson, Kenrich, Jahlil Okafor. You know, it's a really deep team.
Yes.
That's something we've never really been able to say before. So it's just, you know, you can see why the excitement is there. You can point at any player, but when you also hear these national media point to all these things that I just mentioned, it really does hold a lot of promise for the future.
Pretty cool to see at the ESPYs, Drew Brees and Zion Williamson both winning awards and repping the 504 pretty darn solid. I thought that was really cool. Ali Cassell at the Bird writes, welcome back. Stay dry, stay safe, and keep doing the great work talking about the Pels, buddy. I greatly appreciate your time, all right?
Absolutely. Anytime, Jordy. You know that.
You got it, buddy. Thank you. Always can count on you. We can always count on 103.7 The Game to give you the latest updates on the Storm, so be sure to keep it tuned in each and every hour here throughout the course of the day. And when we return, a big decision made by the all-time winningest pitcher in LSU baseball history. He said, enough is enough. The time is right. It's time to move on with my life. Jared Poche joins us next here. The Jordy Helpert Show, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com, Acadiana's number one sports station. We'll be back. Hi, welcome back. Thursday edition, the Jordy Helpert Show. Updating you throughout on Tropical Storm Barry. But you know, the old adage goes, nothing lasts forever. Good times don't last forever. Bad times don't last forever. Really, nothing lasts forever. And that includes careers and the all-time leading pitcher, as far as wins are concerned, in the history of LSU baseball, has decided to, quote, hang up his cleats. And that's former LSU lefty Jared Poche, who let it be known today, or Wednesday, on a post on Instagram. And I thought, let me call up Jared and first off congratulate him on the decision. And Jared, kind enough to join us now. Do you feel like a weight of the world is off your shoulders now that you've made this announcement? And thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you know, it's definitely going to be different. You know, I've been playing baseball since I was probably 4 or 5 years old. So,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be different adjusting to life without baseball, but, you know, I'm excited for this next chapter. I'm getting married in December.
Congratulations.
Hopefully be getting a job, you know, in the next couple of weeks, I guess, getting into the real world. And, you know, like just adjusting to, you know, like I said, life after baseball.
What was there one major factor, or was there a combination of factors that led you to the decision? And how long did you mull this over?
You know, it's just one of those things, I guess, where each, you know, every athlete has that time when, you know, I guess they kind of realize, you know, maybe I'm not as good as I once was, or, you know, just maybe it's just time for. Time to hang it up, you know. I kind of got to that point. I was battling some injuries this year, you know, and I just wasn't performing, you know, I guess up to my own standards or what I expected, you know, and as far as stuff and physical ability, you know, I never felt like I was as good as I was in the past, you know, this year. And, you know, it kind of came clear to me, like, I wasn't playing professional baseball just to play minor league baseball, just to say that I'm still playing baseball. It was, you know, obviously the goal was to make it to the big leagues, and you know, the writing on the wall became clear that, you know, I was maybe further away from the big leagues than I thought. And, you know, just didn't see it happening. You know, not that I'll be wasting my time if I would try to stick it out, but, you know, it was just time to move on, you know.
I got you. You know, you put a lot of – you said you've been playing baseball since you're 4. I guess you were a pitcher from day one. That's a lot of mileage on an arm, you know what I mean? And maybe, just maybe, all that has caught up with you.
Yeah, I think so, man. You know, it kind of sucks. But, you know, you kind of see guys on TV that's been doing it for, you know, Verlander's 36 or something like that, been doing it in the big league level for 15, 20 years, whatever, and they're hanging on. You know, obviously everybody's different. But, you know, and you know, my son came a little earlier, so I'm cool. Like, I'm cool with it. I'm at peace with it. I'm not, you know, I'm not beating myself up over it. You know, it's just, you know, it's a new step. It's going to be a little different, but I'm excited for it, like I said.
Jared Posey, kind enough to join us and sharing some deep thoughts on this. I've got to believe that, you know, baseball is a long, long season, and there is a lot of travel, and you're there with the Stockton Ports of the Oakland A's, their Class A Advanced California League team. And you know, you're far away from home. That's gotta put a wear and tear on you, subconsciously, I would think.
Yeah. You know, that's definitely, it's part of the game, you know. And even in college, we were away, so we kind of got used to it, and you know, kind of became accustomed to it. But it's definitely hard, you know, especially when things are going south. You know, it's easy when things are going good, because everybody, you know, you're in a happy mood, and you know, and everything. I guess when things start going in the wrong direction, is when you would, you know, like to be home, like to be around family and stuff, but. You know, I don't think that was a big factor in it, but obviously it's good to be home, you know, but.
Yeah. Jared, I'm curious, because every league, every team you played on, it was all for one and one for all. And then you get to the big leagues, and it's more of I'm going to do whatever I can do to get myself moved up to the next level and then the next level and the next level. And players are coming in and out. That's got to be a different feel for you from the, you know, all together now, like you had at LSU.
Absolutely. I mean, that's just kind of how professional baseball is, you know. Your whole life you play to win. You play to play as a team, to win as a team, to lose as a team, you know. And you get to professional baseball, and, yeah, you still want to win, and losing still sucks, but – Mm-hmm. You know, as a, it's almost like a, like in the clubhouse feeling where, yes, wins and losses matter, but not as much as it did in college. It's more about development. It's more about, you know, getting your playing time and, you know, the business side of baseball, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're right. Jared Posey, kind enough to join us. 39-13 as a Tiger, a 3.02 ERA. Started 70 games on the mound, a school record, won 39 games. That's another school record. But you were a student athlete. And I tell this to everybody, you know, careers aren't going to last forever, but degrees do. So how much value do you put into that education that you got now?
What's that? How much what?
How much value do you put into that fact that you – you did go to class. You did get an education in four times like this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I got home a couple of days ago, started working on my resume. You know, that's the next step for me. Got to get a job, start, like I said, getting married, so I got to start providing and moving on, you know. Mm-hmm. So education has always been a big value in my family, you know.
No question. What in a perfect world, what would you like to do?
I'm thinking about going into sales. Not exactly sure on the specifics or anything, but something along those fields. Obviously, my options are wide open. You know, just kind of whatever gets thrown my way.
Well, that's where that that network of being an LSU Tiger certainly doesn't hurt, if you know what I mean.
Hopefully. Yeah, hopefully.
Take me back as a Tiger. You had that opportunity to leave after your third year, but you decided to come back for one more season. You went back to classes. You became the all-time wins leader. We talked before. You said, I have no regrets. I believe you still feel that way, I would think.
Oh, absolutely. Best decision I could have made. You know, got to go back to Omaha, got to, you know, break that record. Got to play with, you know, more guys. Got to stay at LSU for an extra year. Got to get my degree, you know. So everything in that department was awesome. And I wouldn't trade that decision for anything. And I still believe that I made the right call.
I'm curious as to your thoughts on this current LSU baseball team because, they've had the worst luck when it comes to their pitchers getting injured. And we talked with Paul Maneri yesterday. He's talking about doing new things and less running and more strength training and this, that, and the other. Have you ever seen anything quite like that where they had so many guys out for extended periods of time?
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the game. It's the unfortunate part of the game. But, you know, that kind of speaks to, you know, at least the 4 years that I was in school from 14 to 17. You know, we were national seeds for four straight years. And obviously we were good, but we got lucky. You know, we were able to, you know, avoid catastrophic injuries, you know, major injuries to important guys. And we were able to stay healthy and get lucky. You know, this past year's team, they just weren't as lucky. You know, they were preseason one or two.
Right.
In the preseason polls. And, you know, for unlucky reasons, a lot of key players went down. A lot of new guys that they were expecting big things went down. And, you know, the ball just didn't bounce their way. You know, they got hot towards the end of the year in the conference tournament. That was a lot of fun to watch. I think that was a little bit of all the expectations, they exceeded those expectations late in the season, and then, you know, obviously didn't work out in the Super Regional. But I mean, I thought all in all, they played great. They represented LSU well, and you know, just you know, played the cards that were dealt to them. You know,
right. Jared Poche, kind enough to join us, retiring from the game of baseball. You've been out on the West Coast. You've been all over the place. What do those three letters mean when people know that you went to LSU? Does it resonate? Does it have the brand and the clout that we think it does?
Oh, absolutely. You know, in professional baseball, it's almost like a joke. Not a joke, but like everyone, you know, in the organization is like, oh, that guy went to LSU. You know, Poche went to LSU. Dykeman went to LSU. I played with Dykeman. Those guys went to LSU. Okay. They whatever, and it's kind of like a, oh, you went to LSU type of thing? And it's almost like a joke. I mean, I don't really know how to explain it. I'm like, yeah, we went. So, like, it's almost like we can't even wear an LSU shirt without one of the guys, you know, making a joke or making a little remark out of it.
A little envy there, absolutely. You won on the high school level. You won on the collegiate level. Is there one, you know, when you reflect, and I'm sure you did this when you were thinking about getting away from the game as a player, you'll still be involved in some way, shape, or form, either watching it or maybe have a son one day and teach him how to pitch the baseball. But anything really that, you know, if you could put your finger on one thing that stood out above all the rest that you will never, ever forget for as long as you live, anything?
Probably the way that I started my senior season off in 17. It was just one of those things where I couldn't explain it. AD couldn't explain it. Maneri couldn't explain it. You know, I still don't know how that happened. Obviously, it's a rarity in the sport. And, you know,
fill in everybody that doesn't remember.
What's that?
Fill in everybody that doesn't remember exactly how you started that season.
Oh, so throwing a no-hitter in the first game versus Army, seven innings. And then week two, I went into the ninth inning with a no-hitter. And then I ended up not giving up a run until the first week of SEC play, which was week five. A guy ended up hitting a home run off me. Still kind of salty about that one. But, it was an incredible run. Obviously, it has to come to an end. Incredible run. Like I said, hard to explain that. I don't think I was doing anything differently from a physical or a mental standpoint during that time, you know, as opposed to the rest of my, you know, time at LSU or even in pro ball or in high school. So
unbelievable.
That's just something I won't ever forget. Obviously, I felt like I was the on top of the world. I was the best pitcher in the entire world, you know, and that probably was what kept it going for so long. When you believe you can do something in your head,
then you can do anything, you know.
Yeah. Well, look, you've got all the training to be a great salesperson in whatever field you'd so desire, because you've got the discipline, you've got the work ethic, you've experienced success, you've experienced failure, and that's what sales are all about. You're not going to get them all, but heck, if you just hit 300 in sales, you're going to make a hell of a living.
Yeah, that's what they say for hitters. They can get out 7 out of 10 times and be a Hall of Famer, right?
That's it.
So,
that's it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Well, see where this next chapter goes.
So how does your fiance feel about all this? She's going to have you home every day.
Yeah, she's definitely happy about that. You know, she was awesome through it all. You know, she didn't try to persuade me either way. She obviously knew that this is, you know, a big decision in our lives, you know, and mm-hmm. she was whatever I decided, whatever I felt was best for us, she was 100% with me, and she's been with me the entire way. So she's been awesome. Can't thank her enough for that.
And Jared Poche will live by the term staycation for a while. I can't imagine you wanting to travel anywhere anytime soon, not on a bus, not on a plane, not on a train. Just stay put for a little while and get reacclimated, I would think.
So funny little story with that. So my parents and fiance and my brothers were coming to visit me in Stockton on the 17th or something like that, July 17th. Uh-huh. They were going to get out there, watch me pitch, and, you know, obviously just see California, make a vacation out of it. And obviously, you know, things didn't work out. I'm home now. So, and then instead of, they had gotten like an Airbnb or something. So instead of losing, I guess, a couple of grand or a couple hundred bucks on plane tickets to the Airbnb, the whole nine yards, we're still gonna go out there. Obviously not go to the ballpark, but we're gonna vacation, go to, you know, do the whole wine tasting and everything. So that'll be pretty cool.
That's not bad.
I was a little skeptical about going at first, but this could be a family vacation, so it'll be fun.
That's awesome. And when's the last time you had a family vacation in July? Probably never. Gee whiz. So enjoy it. And look, congratulations on your decision. Yeah, well, congratulations on your decision. All the best to you. Congratulations on your upcoming nuptials. Thank you for the time, man. Best of luck to you.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, buddy, you take care. Jared Poche, as he said, hanging up the cleats after playing baseball his entire life. Getting married, getting into the real world, wants to get into sales, and I think he'll be just a slam dunk winner there. We'll take a timeout, come back, wrap things up here on the Jordy Helfrich Show. 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Well, in case you were wondering, all seven officials from New Orleans Saints' controversial NFC championship loss, the one that was stolen from us, they're back in the NFL this season. Hip, hip, hooray, just in case you wanted to know. All right, let's wrap things up as we do each and every day with a little daily history lesson. On this one, we go back to July 11th, the year 1990. Now Bo Jackson was a special, special talent. There's no question about that. Run over you, run past you, run by you in football, and was a tremendous baseball player as well. And he showed just how incredible of an athlete he was on this day when playing center field for the Kansas City Royals. Chased down a deep, deep drive to dead center field, caught it right on the warning track. He was running so fast he couldn't stop, so all he did was run up the outfield wall and made kind of an upside down U. Literally ran up the outfield wall. Bo Jackson on this day, July the 11th, the year 1990. If it's your birthday today, well, happy birthday. 7 come 11. Yes, indeed. Hope you have a great day. Hope you have a lot of cake and ice cream, and stay safe out there. You share your birthday with the likes of 85-year-old Giorgio Armani. If you've ever had the pleasure of putting on an article of clothing of Armani, oh my gosh. Now you got to pay an arm and a leg, but it lasts forever. And man, it is the most comfortable thing in the world. Happy 29th birthday to Caroline Wozniacki, women's tennis star. And a happy birthday to one of the all-time best LSU football player, now in the NFL. He's a annual Pro Bowl player, Patrick Peterson. Funny story about Patrick Peterson. LSU's playing, I think it was North Carolina, in the Georgia Dome, opening game of the season. And Patrick Peterson is playing defensive back, and he's returning punts and kickoffs. And he had like 230-something return yards in the first half and a couple of touchdowns. And Jack Marucci, the trainer and the owner of Marucci Bats, was on the sidelines, and I'm standing next to him, and I'm going, dude, where did he come from? He said, oh, he's been doing this all the time in practice, but Les didn't want to put a newcomer out there, so he wanted to put seasoned veterans. I said, what? Got too much talent. Patrick Peterson, a super, super star. Yes, indeed. So thanks to our guest today. What a list it has been. And we certainly appreciate the update from KLFY's Chris Cozart. Ali Cassell with Summer League update and news. And Jared Poche, kind enough to come on the day he announced he's retiring from the game of baseball. Pretty darn good. Tomorrow will be Friday. We'll have our fun five of hot topics. We'll keep you updated, as always, on the tropics and the Acadiana area and Barry. We hope for the very, very best, and we hope for the best for everyone that may come in the path of these storms that can be so devastating. So keep it locked in all day long right here on 103.7 The Game, and we promise to keep you informed and updated throughout the course of the morning, afternoon, evening, whatever it takes. We'll be here for you. CD, job well done. Thank you for all you do. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to all of you for listening, and thanks to our partners that make it possible each and every day. We have only one of these Thursdays, July the 11th. So have a great rest of your afternoon and evening. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4 p.m., same great station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. All our interviews are on demand at 103.7thegame.com. Until tomorrow, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay dry. Stay safe. See you next time.